Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I wanted to bring a message about loneliness and where that all sort of originated. And, you know, we all go through periods of loneliness in our lives. And so how do you sort of maneuver and get around that? And before I do that, I wanted to just first kind of define some terms here, because there's a difference between aloneness and loneliness. Aloneness is that sort of a state of being where we kind of separate ourselves from other people, where we put ourselves in sort of a solitary state. And aloneness does not necessarily equal unhappiness, because even the Bible tells us that there are times when we need to pull away. You know, we need to get away from our family. We need to get away from our job. We need to spend time alone with the Lord. Those are times of prayer, of fasting and meditation, so that we can hear what God is saying and speaking into our life. And then after that time is over, then we are to reconnect with others. But loneliness is not like that. Loneliness is an altogether different kind of state of mind. And you could almost say that loneliness is sort of this, like this gnawing, aching emptiness that just longs for someone to come along and fill it. And when we find ourselves in that state of loneliness, when we're locked in like that, it's hard to kind of figure out how to get out of it, how to really connect with other people. And so I wanted to look at maybe where that originated. And I think you can trace that whole concept of loneliness all the way back to the very beginning, to the first two chapters of the book of Genesis. Because when we read in the book of Genesis, especially in chapter 1, it's talking about the creation of everything. And we have a God that when he creates, he does it big time, right? So when he creates the heavens, when he creates the stars, he doesn't create one star. He didn't create just one moon. He just opened his mouth and it's like, boom, you know, just radiated. All kind of stuff came out of his mouth. I mean, there's so much stuff in the galaxies, you know, astronomers, they don't even know what's out there, right? It's just this massive outpouring of cosmic stuff that's sitting out there, right? The same idea is when God created this world, this planet. He, you know, in the first chapter of Genesis, it talks about seed-bearing plants. God didn't just decide to cover Earth with grass, you know, or one or two plants, but he has like a multitude, much. He takes nothing and he makes much, and so we have all kinds of flowers and all kinds of stuff populated all over this world. The same thing when he created birds. He doesn't make just one variety of birds. No, he's making all kinds of wild, crazy stuff out there, right? Same thing with insects. And the same thing when he makes animals. He doesn't stick with just one kind of animal. He's making multiple, many. And he's saying, hey, this is all good stuff that I'm doing. And then he makes mankind. And he makes one guy, Adam. You ever think about that? I don't know how many times I've read the creation story. And, you know, it's like multiple, multiple, multiple. But when it comes to the creation of man, it's like he makes one guy. Why didn't he just make people, like, all over the world? Or why didn't he make Adam and Eve? But he doesn't. He just makes Adam, see? And then later on in the story, God, it seems like he has this afterthought. Like, hey, it's not good for man to be alone. It's like, really? It took you that long to figure that out, you know? But we know that's not true. I mean, we know that God is all loving and God is all knowing. And we know that God is purposeful in everything that God does. And so if he made Adam apart from Eve, and by the way, when you read those first two chapters of Genesis, you get that idea that there was a kind of a long time span between the time he creates Adam and then Eve comes on the scene. So what was God thinking, and what was that really all about, and why did Adam have to wait that long period of time before Eve sort of showed up on the scene? And I believe there are three reasons. A good minister always has three reasons, right? But there may be other reasons, you know, but there are three that stand out for me. And first, the first one, I think the reason why God allowed Adam to just, you know, be that single person in this big world was that Adam had to discover on his own his need for intimacy. See, I can tell you that you have certain needs in your life, but unless you feel that at a gut level, you're never going to pursue that. You're never going to be interested in that. I grew up in kind of a sheltered environment, and my parents kind of micromanaged me, you know. And so when I got to a place where I could actually get mobile, you know, I got out on my own. And I wasn't much interested in relationships. That didn't seem really important to me. That didn't seem of value to me. I wanted to live. I wanted to have experience. I wanted to go places, do things, see? And I had relationships, but I did not really value relationships. They didn't seem very important to me at the time. It wasn't until much later in my life, you know, when I began to really sense the need to have that kind of intimacy that I pursued that. And it's kind of ironic, too, because my early training, I was trained as a mental health counselor. And so, and I was doing counseling in the psychiatric facilities. And I know I was teaching people these very principles, you know, about the need to be in a relationship and all that. But for me, I didn't care. You know, it just wasn't very important. It's the whole idea, too, that, you know, we don't drink. You know, I had no appreciation for water. You know, you have no appreciation for water until you're really thirsty, right? You have no appreciation for food unless you're really hungry. You have to have that internal oomph, you know, that generates that desire, that need, and then you begin looking. And then there's the second reason is, I believe, that Adam had to discover that neither things nor activities can satisfy that need. And I'm going to ask Arlette, if you could put Genesis chapter 2, because we have to throw some scripture in here. I don't want you to think I'm just making all this up, right? So, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it says, the Lord God took the man, talking about Adam, and put him in the garden to work. Now, this is before the creation of Eve. So the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Let's go to the next verse. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Let's keep going. We're going to go all the way through verse 20. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. And the Lord God said, and this is really the key verse in this whole message, it is not good for the man to be alone. And we're going to come back and look at that. I will make a helper suitable for him. Verse 19. Now this again, before the creation of Eve. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field, all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. And then the last verse here, and this is the most important. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, but for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Now, you read that account, and here's God, and he's bringing all these animals, you know, to Adam. And we look at it as Adam's naming, you know, the critters, right? This is going to be a giraffe. This is going to be an elephant. Well, he's probably saying that in another language, but that's our translation. You know, and he's naming all these things. But it says that Adam found no suitable helper. So Adam wasn't just naming animals. Here's Adam, and he's experiencing all of this, like, intimacy needs, see? And all these creatures are being brought before him. And so Adam is examining these creatures, and he's trying to figure out, hey, can I relate on some kind of spiritual, interpersonal way, you know, with a monkey, see? With an ape, you know, can I do that? And the Bible tells us that for Adam, no, that didn't work for Adam. You know, I can remember a number of years ago, I was going through kind of a lonely time. And I was telling a buddy of mine, I said, you know, I'm feeling really kind of lonely. I'm trying to, you know, how do I connect and, you know, make new friends and stuff like that? And he said, you know what, Steve? Why don't you just get a pet? He said, why don't you buy a dog? You like dogs. And I thought, I do like dogs when it's your dog, see? Yeah, I like cats when it's your cat, but I don't want cats or dogs. But the whole idea there is that somehow I can find what I need. I can meet that deep, loving, intimacy need through something other than a human being, see? Now, I'm not knocking cat owners and dog owners, and I know that cats and dogs, you know, and I guess birds, I don't know, can be sort of loving kind of creatures. But, you know, the value, one good value of a friend is that a friend sometimes will tell you things that you don't want to hear, right? But a dog or a cat will always be loving and caring, right? But you can't meet those deep needs simply through pets. See? But we have people out there in a culture like that that are doing that, see? And the other thing that you cannot do is try to appease those emotions and feelings through activities, because God placed Adam in the garden to care for it, to tend for it, see? And sometimes, you know, when we feel like all kinds of crazy emotions and feelings in our gut, you know, we don't want to deal with that stuff. So we try to work. We try to take our mind off it, to focus on other things, to do activities, you know. There are people in our congregation that are probably like that, you know. We call them workaholics. You know, you will not focus on what's going on in your own personal life or in the lives of your family or whatever. It's easier for you to take all that energy and to put it into work. You can even do that in a religious sense. See, that you can focus on just doing religious activity as a way of somehow keeping yourself from dealing with those deep intimacy needs in our lives. See? But you can't do that, see? So God allows Adam to experience that sense of loneliness so that the need, he will identify that need for himself. He'll understand that he cannot satisfy that need through involvement in the critters. Okay, pets or whatever, or through activities. And then I think the third reason, and I think it is the most profound, is that God created Adam separate like that because he wanted Adam to understand that a vertical relationship with God alone, separate from all these horizontal relationships, is not sufficient to meet that intimacy need. Now, I know when I say that, it almost sounds blasphemous, right? But you have to remember that when can we throw that up there, Arlette, 2:18, that key text? When the Lord God says, it is not good for the man to be alone, He's saying that before sin has even entered into the garden. So that Adam is already walking in harmony with God. That's powerful. See? He's already walking. And that word where it says not good, that not is written in the strongest negative form in the Hebrew language. So it is as if God is saying, Adam, it's not good. It's not good at all for you to be alone. See? And the reason why it's not good for Adam to be alone or for any of us to be alone is that we all need meaningful companionship. See, we all need friends, and we all need very close friends because it's just the way that God designed us. You know, the Bible says that God is a triune God. He's three persons and yet one God. And so you've got Father, Son, and Spirit. And the Father loves the Son. He just loves him. And he loves the Holy Spirit, and he honors the Holy Spirit. And the Son loves the Father and the Spirit, and he honors the Father and the Spirit. And the Spirit loves the Father and Jesus, and he honors them. And they're in this continuous, you know, communication, a love relationship. You can say that the Godhead is really family. See? And we are made in the image and likeness of God. See? So that means that the way that God made us, he created us, is that we have to have that, yeah, that vertical relationship with Father, but we also have a innate desire to be in relationship with one another.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just in our DNA, see? We just have that desire. And so when we come into that relationship with God, that's what happens. The psalmist, Psalm 68:6, he says, I place the lonely, where? In families. I put you in families. And why does he put us in families? He put us in families because if you just think about your own family, think about your own family. In family, there is peace. In family, there is love. In family, there is security. In family, there is healing, right? In family, there's fighting, isn't there? Well, you get along, you don't get along with brothers and sisters, you fight, you know, but then, you know, you work it through. And if you don't get along with mom and dad, you work it through. If you don't get along with your husband and wife, you work it through, and it makes the relationship stronger. See, God placed us, it's his design to put us into family, because that family stuff is what brings healing to our lives. And let me tell you something. Probably back about 15 years ago, I would say, I went through this horrible time in my life. I had just ended, I'm a single man, I've never been married, and I just ended this sort of a long-term relationship with a woman, and I was devastated because I had realized after I had ended it that I had put all my eggs in one basket, so to speak. That was the relationship, you know, that I had. Everything emotionally was tied into that. And I had neglected all the other relationships in my life. And so when that ended, I had nothing. And I just didn't know what to do. I was depressed. I was anxious. But I maintained my relationship with the Lord. And I was praying, God, you got to help me. You got to help me. You got to intervene. You got to help me with this depression. You got to help me with this anxiety. Some days I'd feel good. And then other days I'd feel like, you know, not so good. You know, I felt terrible. Well, in the midst of all of that crazy stuff, and I was praying and asking God for, you know, for answers, help me, give me, deliver me, whatever. It just so happened that in that time phase, I had to attend a chaplain's conference down in Missouri. And while I was there, they had a communion service. And the minister that led the communion, he was consecrating the bread, you know. And I remember he held up, you know, the piece of bread. And he said, this is my body given for you. And when he said that, he just held the bread in his hand and he did this. He just went around the room and he made eye contact with all of us. And when he made eye contact with me, It was like the Spirit of God spoke to me right then. Boom. And he said, Steve, he's not talking about a piece of bread. See, this is my body. This is my body given for you. See, given for you. Take it. Eat it. Do you understand what I'm saying? This, the body of Christ, this is the body that he's referring to. It is the family. It is where we find everything that we need is resident. That's why the Apostle Paul goes to great lengths in the book of Corinthians when he talks about the church as being the body of Christ, and the gifts of the Spirit, see, are in the body. Right after the Lord spoke to me that, he also led me to James chapter 5, and Arlette doesn't have this scripture, but James chapter 5, that whole chapter is about healing. And there is a verse, if I can find it, James chapter 5, where he says, he's talking about if any of you among you are sick or in need of healing, he says, confess your faults one to another and pray for each other that you might be healed. See? And there is something about letting my needs to be known in the body of Christ. It's not just about asking God for help. He's saying, I'm giving you help. I've placed you in the body of Christ. My gifts are in the body of Christ. The body is made up of many members, right? Yeah. And I can't say, you know, I can't say, Susan, you know, I don't like you. There's something about you. I just don't like you. And I'm not going to build a relationship with you. I'm not interested in having any kind of relationship with you. See? But if I have an issue, say, of anger or bitterness or something, and I can't work that through, she might have the very help that I need. See? Yeah. To work through that. But because I cut myself off from her, I don't get my healing. And the Bible says the whole body suffers when one member of the body suffers, you see. And if I deny myself a relationship with her simply because I don't like her in some way, you know, then she may have need of something, see. She needs healing, and I may have that gift. I may have that. You don't understand what I'm saying? It's reciprocal. If I deny myself relationship with other people, I may not receive healing that I need in myself. And at the same time, I am not able to give healing, see, to others in the body of Christ who need that. You know, so it's a thing, it's a powerful thing. We need this body and we need this church because we are family. And the gifts of healing all operate within that. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And, you know, there's another thing, too, that I felt like I needed to share. And I'm sharing this particularly to single people like myself. But the goal of intimacy in relationships, especially in the body of Christ, is not marriage. It really isn't. You know, it worked out that way for Adam and Eve because, hey, God wanted them to populate the world, right? But that is not always the case for us, see? The goal is not marriage. The goal is maturity. See, because God is interested in healing us, see, and blessing us so that we can make a difference in the body of Christ, see, so that we can rise up to the full stature that he called us to be as men and women of God. Amen? Well, let's just, I got off the grid a little bit with my notes, but we went where the Lord wanted to go. So let's just bow and have a word of prayer. We're ending way early. It's awesome when you got the JV team doing it, right? You get out a little early, get out for lunch. So let's pray. So, Father, we just thank you because you are a great and you are an awesome and you are a holy God. And we ask, Lord, that you would just bless our church. I mean, just bless us. Lord, I would ask that you would help us to ever be mindful, Lord, that you have placed us in a family, Yeah, we're the family of God. And this congregation right now, Lord, has been ordained by you. And there, every person in this body is important. Father, we all have something to contribute to one another. And I'm going to sort of stop my prayer right here. I'm going to come back to my prayer. You know, when you're a prison minister, you can do stuff like this. So we're going to put that prayer on hold for 1 second, because the Lord just reminded me of something here that I wanted to say earlier. And that was, you know, I've traveled like all over the place, and I've been in all kinds of congregations, you know, multiple, many. And it took me a long time to figure out, because I always felt like I was the odd guy out, and I could never really kind of get in, fit in. And then, a dummy, you know, the Lord showed me. He said, well, that's because there's a lot of families that go to this church, see? There's a lot of families. Like, if I get mad at, you know, Mike over here, you know, he might have an Uncle Louie over here that he's mad at me now because I get mad at Mike. You know what I'm saying? There's all that family dynamic going on in there. And so when a person who comes into the congregation who is new, you know, he doesn't have any family, you know, it's hard to kind of break that ice, you know, to get in there, to fit in. And so it behooves us, really, I believe, that if we're in our in our groups, and we see someone that we don't know, how hard is it really to go over and introduce yourself, or even to take somebody that you don't know to dinner, right? Take me to dinner? Yeah. So, you know, so I'll be your friend. I'll be better than a dog, you know. So just something like that, a little aside to keep in mind. And so, Father, we're just going to continue with the prayer. So, Father, I just speak a blessing over everybody here. And I ask, Father, that you would bless our church and help our church really be connected and united and receive, Lord, the healing that you want within the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.